Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Shabbos Daf Nun Zayin, right at the beginning of the new parak. Says the Mishnah, Bame Isha Yotze, what type of accessory can an Isha wear, can a woman wear in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos? Ubame Eino Yotze, what type of accessories can a woman not wear, not take out with herself into Rosh Hashanah, a public domain on Shabbos? Now, what is the basis, what is the reasoning behind these halachas? Let's take a look at the first Rashi inside. It says, Rashi, Bame Isha Yotze. To have a tachshit. We're speaking about a tachshit, an accessory which is something of an ornament, a piece of jewelry. And technically speaking, it's batal to the person. It's subordinate to the Isha, just like her garment, just like her malbush. And therefore, certainly, she's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. To have a tachshit, said Rashi, Vlei Masri, it's not a load. Continues Rashi. If so, why do we find some items she cannot wear, even though they are tachshitim, even though they are items of ornament? Says Rashi, v'ika. Sometimes we have the have a tachshit, although it's a tachshit, the gozav rabbanon, the rabbanon applied a gzera. They applied a decree, they prohibited the isha from wearing this tachshit in Rosh Hashanah. Why? Dilma, there's a concern perhaps, shofa, she might remove it, u'mechvaya l'chaver t'chashivusay. Perhaps she's going to remove it to show her friend chashivusoy, its significance, its elegance, its value. What's wrong with doing that? Because when she's holding it in her hand, in Shas Rabim, there's a concern that she might keep on walking with it. V'dilma, osi lesuye daladamis. Perhaps she might continue walking with this tachshit in her hand. At that point, that she's not wearing it, it certainly is considered to be a masri load, and she might walk with it for amas in Shas Rabim, which is a melacham natur. This forms the basis and the background for the Gzeirah the Rabbanan in this perek, where an Isha cannot wear a tachshit, where there is a concern, a chashash, that she might remove it to display it to her friend. So once again, says the Mishnah, Ba'amei Isha Yotze, what items can a woman wear on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah? Uba'amei Eino Yotze, with what can she not go out? Says the Mishnah, Lo Yiseitzei Isha, a woman should not go out wearing Lo Yibichutei Tzemer, with strands of wool, woolen strands which are used to braid her hair, v'loy b'chutei pishton, with linen strands, v'loy b'ritzu shibaroish, other types of ribbons in her hair. Continues the Mishnah, v'loy titbol behen, suppose she needs to immerse in the mikvah on Shabbos. These things present a chatzitza concern. A chatzitza means that it prevents the water from contacting the hair, because it ties up the hair and doesn't allow the water to penetrate. So it interposes between the water and the hair. It's considered to be a chatzitza and invalidates a tefillah. Therefore, the Mishnah gives us some advice. If she has these strands, these things in her hair, she should not be toivel atcha to wrap them until she loosens them and thereby allows the water to penetrate and reach all the hair. Continues the Mishnah. She may not go out wearing this tetefes, this ornamental plate on her forehead, v'loy b'sarvitim, this type of ornamental head covering. The Gemara will describe these two items later on. So she can't go out wearing these things, once again for concern that she might remove it in Rosh Hashanah and display it to her friend. When is this restriction applied? Says the Mishnah, b'zman, only on condition she'inon tfurin, when they are not attached to her head covering. Rashi calls it a svacha shekern shkufiya, some sort of a hat or a scarf which she uses to cover her hair. So when these tetefes and sarvita are not attached, they're not tied or sewn to the head covering, to the hat, indeed there's a concern she might remove them to display to her friend. However, if they are attached to the hat, to this svacha, to this thing that's covering her hair, then there's no concern, because she's certainly not going to remove her head covering and uncover her hair. So once again, this concern is only when they're loose and not connected to her head covering. Continues the Mishnah. V'loy b'kavol l'rosh hashanah. She may not go out with a kavol, which is another type of woolen cap. She cannot wear it in Rosh Hashanah, but she can wear it in the chatzar, in a private domain. Let's take a look at Rashi, who explains this. Rashi is to be found around 14 lines from the top. Rashi says, L'Rishus HaRabim, she cannot wear this kavel to Rishus HaRabim. Aval L'Chotzer Shari. This kavel she can wear in a chotzer. Why? Says Rashi, you should know firstly that everything mentioned up until now, the Tefes, the Sarvit, etc., even in a chotzer, she cannot wear it. This kavel is different. Explains Rashi why. Everything mentioned up until now, asurim af lechatzer. A woman may not wear it even in a chatzer, which is hayachad, a private domain. Why? What is the concern there? Shema targilem b'shus rab, because she might become accustomed to wearing these things, and she wears it in a chatzer. There's a concern that she might continue wearing it in a shus rabim. Says Rashi, but one second, why can't she wear it in a shus rabim? Because of exer drabana, unless she might remove it and carry it. So it's merely exer drabana. We know Chacham never apply a double gzera. They don't prohibit one thing on account of another, on account of a third thing. So why do you prohibit even in a chatzer? Says Rashi, v'chad gzeri. It's considered to be one unified gzera. The gozer b'hem shloi tiskashet b'hem b'shabbos klal. Chacham applied a across the board gzera. Don't wear these things. Don't be miskashet with these things. Don't wear these types of jewelry and ornamental items. Don't beautify with them on Shabbos. So it's on all across the board, gzera. If you're going to wear it in the chatzah, perhaps you'll continue wearing it in Shus Rabim as well. So it's not considered to be a double gzera, rather a single gzera. Okay, so we know that all these tachshitin may not be worn in Shus Rabim, nor in the chatzah. However, says Rashi, ubi kvul hitiru. The Chacham made an exception for this kvul. They allowed her to wear it in a chatzah. Kinefarshla, come on, but Pirkan, as the Gemara later explains, shloi lesser as kol tachshitel. Chacham wanted to leave something out to have some allowance, to allow her to wear some sort of ornamental item. If it is so, because otherwise, if they prohibit everything, perhaps it's a concern. If it is gan al bala, if she doesn't wear any sort of tachshit items of ornamental value, she might not find favor in the eyes of her husband. It is gan al bala, and there is that concern. Therefore, the Chacham allowed something somewhere. They allow her to wear this kvul in at least in the chatzer. Okay, continues the Mishnah. V'loi bi'ir shel zahav. She may not wear this piece of jewelry, this golden ir shel zahav, which was like a figurehead of Yerushalayim. V'loi b'katla, no, this katla item. V'loi b'nezamim, nose rings. V'loi b'tabash, and elo choysam, nor with a ring that does not have a signet on it. She may not wear it in shesurabim or in a chatzer. What else can she wear? With this ornamental pin. But if she indeed wore these items, certainly she's not chayav to bring a chatas. Why is that? Let's take a look at Rashi here. This is the last Rashi in the Mishnah. It says Rashi, v'im yotzes, eino chayav es chatas. Why do we say that if she was yotzes al shus rabim, she doesn't need to bring a chatas? The kulu tachshitinu. Because certainly they're all considered to be tachshitim, items of ornament, items of jewelry, and technically speaking, minat Torah, one is permitted to wear these items on Shabbos in Mishnah Sarabim. For Rabbanon, who the Gozerbu, as we spoke earlier, the Rabbanon applied Exer Dilma for concern, Shalfo Mechvaya, there's a concern that she might remove it and show her friend. So, there's an Issa Rabbanon. But if one indeed wears these items, Vim Yatzas, she will not bring because she did not transgress the Issa Minat Torah. Now, Tosis later on in Daf Samach Dalad points out, Samach Dalad on my base, on the bottom, that this Gzera doesn't apply to our women. Our women wear the Tachshitim in Mishas Rabim because the concern is of removal and displaying. So Tosis says, V'noshi didan, this is on Samach Dalad Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, says Tosfos there, V'noshi didan, our women, they're not accustomed to taking off the jewelry and displaying it. Einan maris tachshitein v'tabisein. They're not accustomed to removing their jewelry and their rings and displaying them to their friends. U'mushumachi mutaris losses b'hem. Therefore, they're allowed to wear it. There's no concern that they might remove it in Shosurabim. Okay, continues the Gemara. Let's take a look back at the Mishnah. The Mishnah began with hair accessories and continued with other body accessories. Now the Mishnah came and told us halacha. What about these hair accessories? You must loosen them prior to immersing in a mikvah. Says the Gemara, how does the halacha of tzvila connect with Hilchas Shabbos? Tzvila? Man dechar shema? Who mentioned anything regarding tefillah? What is the connection? What is the point of discussing halachos of tefillah and mikvah right here in the middle of Hilchos Shabbos? Is there any sort of connection? Says more, yes indeed. It's very much connected. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Amar Rav Ravu, Ma Tam Kamar. It's actually the reason for the Yisr. The Mishnah begins with the Chutei Tzemer, Chutei Pishtan, the Ritzuis in the woman's hair. What's wrong with that? Ma tam, why should she not wear it? Apparently there's no concern here that she'll remove it and show it to her friend. It seems that these things aren't considered to be items of significance, of elegance that she wants to display to her friend. So why then is there an issa chachamim, an issa derabanan, to wear these straps and ribbons on Shabbos? Indeed, the reason is not because of removal for the sake of displaying to her friend, but rather on account of a concern that she might remove it to be toivel in a mikvah. Once again, says the Gemara, Ma tam kamar. The Mishnah is giving us a reason for the isser of the hair accessories. Ma tam loy tzei tzeisha, loy bechutei tzemer. Why should she not go out wearing the chutei tzemer, the woolen strands, loy bechutei pishtan, the flax strands, bepnei she'amru chachamim. Since the chachamim instructed, bechoil loy titba matcha to wrap him, when she is immersing b'chol on ordinary weekday, loy titva behem, she cannot be toivel with these accessories on her acha to rabim until she loosens them. Why? Once again, because of chatzitza, because they interpose, they get in the way, they block the access of the water to her hair. Because when her hair is all tied up and braided with these chutim, the water has a hard time penetrating. So Chacham instructed an isha when she is toivel during the weekdays, she must loosen them prior to tefillah. Now, based on that, we have an additional concern on Shabbos. V'kiv on the b'chol loy titvohen asher tirapim. Since on an ordinary weekday she needs to loosen them prior to tefillah, but Shabbos loy seitze. As a result of that, subsequently on Shabbos, we don't allow her to go out into shusharama wearing these strands, these chutim. Why? Dilma, perhaps misramila. Tefillah shel mitzvah. An obligatory tefillah will come her way. She'll be obligated to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. And as we know, one can do that on Shabbos, Rashi explains, although one is not meant to be toivel a utensil, to be metayer a kli on Shabbos, because it looks like he's fixing it. And it has the appearance of a melacha. Nevertheless, a person, an adam, may be toivel on Shabbos. Why? As Rashi explains, because It appears as though he's taking a dip. He's cooling himself off on Shabbos, and it doesn't have the obvious impression of a tikkun. Therefore, the Chachamim allowed one to be tevel on Shabbos. So once again, perhaps she's going to encounter a tefillah shel mitzvah, and when she has these straps on her hair, she's going to have to loosen them to remove the chatzitza problem. B'sharilu, she's going to untie these straps, these ribbons, and by doing so there's a concern that she might take it off and hold it in her hands, and after the tefillah perhaps she's not going to reinstall these straps. She'll simply hold on to it and walk with it in Rosh Hashanah for Amos. There's a concern she might carry it for Amos Rosh Hashanah. So indeed, when the Mishnah begins by telling us regarding hair accessories that are not to be worn on Shabbos, what is the reason, what is the basis of the concern there? It's not because she might display it to her friend, but rather perhaps she's going to remove it to allow tevila on Shabbos, and then instead of putting it back, she's going to hold on to them in her hands and carry it with herself walking in Rosh Hashanah. As Taisvis, if so, any malbush, any garment should be usher for the same reason. The person needs to remove it prior to tevila, and then may continue carrying it in their hands after tevila and Rosh Hashanah. Says Taisus, no. This concern doesn't apply to malbushim, to ordinary garments, because it is customary for a person to get dressed immediately after the tefillah. A person doesn't move even a bit. He puts it on immediately. He doesn't walk at all. Taisa says, "Ein derech lo leches klal mimekaymei." It is no derech to. It is not acceptable for a person to walk even a little bit until he wears his clothing. Ad sheyel bishem. Therefore, there's no concern regarding clothing that the person will walk holding onto his clothing. He's going to get dressed immediately after tefillah. However, regarding these tachshitim, which are small, insignificant items, perhaps the person won't be makpid. In the case of the isha, she's not going to bother replacing them. She's going to just hold on to them and walk home with them in her hands. Continues the Gemara. Continuing on the topic of chatzitza, boy minei Rav Kahana mirav. Rav Kahana asked the following question of Rav. So you know the chutei tzemer, the chutei pishtin, pose a chatzitza concern, and as a result, she cannot wear it in Shusarab on Shabbos. What about tiki chalil tamay? What about some type of chain, a fabric chain that she wears, and she braids her hair with it? Now this is something which is woven, something which is loose. So it's some sort of a loose material chain. Is this a problem? Is this a chatzitza? And thereby usher to be worn on Shabbos? Tiki chalil tamay. What is the halacha regarding this material chain? Amar lei. Rav Kahana responded, Origi karmar, so you're speaking about this chain which is woven, there's no concern there, because the water can simply flow right through it, and there's no chatzitza issue. Kol shu orig legozru, so there's no concern here, and she's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. So once again, his question was regarding Shabbos. Rav Kahana asked from Rav, regarding Shabbos, does tichi chalilta pose a concern? Meaning, is it a chatzitza, and therefore on Shabbos would be asur? Or perhaps it does not pose a chatzitza. And he responded, no, there's no chatzitza issue, and therefore there's no gzera, like gozer, there's no gzera to wear it on Shabbos. Itmar Nami, we learned as follows, in support to this halacha, Itmar Nami, we also learned that Ravuna Meidav Shua, Kol Shu Orig, anything which is woven, like gozeru, Chachamim did not apply an Isser, because there's no concern of chatzitza, because it doesn't get too tight enough to pose a chatzitza, to a barrier for the water to reach the hair. Continues Umar v'ikad Amri. There's another version of this. Amar v'un b'rede v'shu. Chazina l'achvasi. I noticed that my sisters, when they went to bathe, the loikapten alayu, they were not insistent on removing these woven chains, these types of tichi chalilta. They didn't remove it from their hair when they went to the merchats, when they bathed. This is not speaking about a tefillah mitzvah, but ordinary bathing process. So we see that apparently the water completely and fully penetrates these tichi chalilta, because when one bathes, he certainly would like the water to reach all areas, including fully penetrating his hair. So if I saw that my sisters were not makpid, were not particular about removing these things, they kept it on their hair even though when they bathed, apparently there's no concern regarding Shabbos as well. Why? Because it doesn't form a barrier. It doesn't prevent the water from reaching the hair. And in addition, the person is not makpid to remove it. Therefore, there's no concern that she's going to go ahead and remove it from her hair and perhaps carry it in Shusarabim. So we have two versions here. The first one was that the Chacham were not geyser regarding an orig, regarding this type of thing which is woven, because it doesn't pose a chatzitza. The second version of the Gemara was Ikad Amri. Rav Huim Ben Mishua says, I noticed that my sisters don't have a hakpad on it, they're not insistent on removing it, and they're fine with wearing these chains on their hair when they bathe. Therefore, in our case, it is mutter to wear it on Shabbos, there's no concern that the Isha will remove them when she's tevel in the mikvah. My Ika, says the Gemara, my Ika Ben Hachlishna. Is there a practical difference, a halachic difference between these two versions? Ma'ika, what is the difference between Hachlishna, between one version, or between Hachlishna, between the other version? Ikim b'nau, there actually is a halachic difference between the two. What is that? The tenifan. Let's say these chains are soiled. There's some mud on it, etc. So then, a chatzitza, it won't pose, it won't prevent, it won't form a barrier. These tichi chalilta, since they're woven, the water penetrates and will reach the hair. So if the concern is a halacha concern, as presented in the first version of the Gemara, there is a halacha concern about chatzitza, which prohibits the isha from wearing something on Shabbos, something which is woven does not pose a halachic chatzitza concern. So therefore, even if the tichi chalilta, these chains are soiled, the water still gets through it, penetrates properly, it doesn't form a barrier, it doesn't interpose, and therefore a woman can wear it on Shabbos because there's no concern that she'll remove it, because there's no halachic issue here. However, according to the second version of the Gemara, where he was discussing his sisters and their kpeda, whether they're particular, whether they're insistent about removing something. And he said, well, I saw that they weren't insistent on removing these things from their hair. They had no kpeda. They were fine with the presence of these chains on their hair during bathing. But if the chain is soiled, then perhaps there's a problem. Why? Because when the water will wet the clay or the mud there, so this clay and mud which will get wet will drip on them and get them dirty. So in this case, certainly the person is makpid to remove these chains, these soiled chains from themselves. And therefore on Shabbos, if she should need to go to the mikveh, she's going to remove it to prevent from getting dirty. So therefore, it would be us. Let's take a look again inside. Ma'ika, what is the halachic difference bin hach lishna, between both versions in the Gemara? The first version, which is the halachic concern of chatzitza. The second approach, which also includes a concern about kpeda, the person's personal preference. Says ma'ika binayu, you know what the difference is? The tnifan, where these woven chains are dirty. Lahach lishna, according to the first version of the Gemara, the Amar, which said, Koshu, Oregla, Gazru, anything which is woven, and does not form a barrier, does not prevent the water from reaching the hair, the Chacham did not prohibit, because why should she take it off? When she goes to the mikvah, the water will penetrate, there's no reason to take it off. Hani, Nami, Oreg. Here too, it's something woven, even though it's dirty, it's woven, it allows the water to penetrate, there's no halacha concern, and she will keep it on herself. However, according to the second approach in the Gemara, that the criterion is not only chatzitza, but also needs to be something which she doesn't care to leave on herself during the tefillah. But in this case, when they're dirty, kivan de tnifan, since they're soiled, mikbad kapdalayu. Certainly in this case, she's makvid. She cares to remove it. She insists on removing this tichi chalilta, so that it doesn't soil her when it gets wet. And therefore, even though there's no chatzitza issue, but the dirt will compel her to remove it, and she might go ahead and carry it in Rishus Rabim for Amos. So once again, according to the first version of the Gemara, as long as it doesn't pose a halacha concern, since the water penetrates it, there's no concern that she's going to remove it on account of its being soiled. She'll know it's Shabbos. One must not remove it for concern that they might carry it. So there's no concern here. However, according to the second version of the Gemara, the only time it's permitted is when there's no chance, there's no reason for her to remove it. Be it because of a chatzitza halacha concern, be it because of a personal preference concern. But in a case where it's soiled, there is a genuine concern that she will remove it in order to prevent from getting dirty. And therefore, in this case, even tichi chalilta are also to be worn on Shabbos, for concern that it might lead to a melacha d'oraisa. Okay, let's take a chazara of the Mishnah and the Gemara we learned up until now. The Mishnah began telling us regarding hair accessories. Lo yiseitze isha b'chutin, with these straps around her hair, and the reason is, as the Gemara explained, mishum tvila, because she might encounter a tvila and will need to remove them. We have two reasons why a person will remove it. The Gemara tells us on account of chatzitza. The Gemara added another concern about kpeda, makpid. If there's any reason why she cares to remove it, that too poses a concern. The Gemara says, what is the nafkamina between both things? Well, if it's something which is arik, something which is woven and clean, all agree it's mutter, why should she remove it? When it's something which is woven but metunaf, soiled, according to the first version of the Gemara, the concern is only merely in a case where it poses a halachic, chatzitza concern. In a case where it's merely matunaf, there's no concern that she'll remove it. According to the second version of the Gemara, this case will be usur because she is makbid. She wants to remove it prior to immersing herself, and there's a real concern that she might grab onto it and walk with it. Four amas in Rishus HaRab. Continues the Gemara. Tanan Hasam. We learned in a Mishnah, this is Mishnah's Mikvahs, discussing the halachas of Chatzitzos. Ve'elu Choytzin Ba'adam. These following items pose a halacha concern of Chatzitzos, since they prevent the water, they interpose, they get in the way of the water reaching the person. Therefore, a person cannot immerse in the mikvah wearing these things. Chotei tzemer, strands of wool, v'chotei pishton, strands of linen flax, v'ritzuyes sheberosh yabonis, different types of straps. And these things, of course, are speaking about straps which are tied around the hair of the bonis of the girls. So according to Tanakama, all these types of straps pose a halacha concern of chatzitza. Rabbi de Omer, I take exception. Shal tzemer v'shal seir ein chotzitzin. I agree only with the strands of pishton. They indeed form a barrier. But if they're made from tzemer, wool, or seir, made of hair, strands of twined hair, they don't pose a chatzitzin. Ein chotzitzin. Why? V'pnei sha'amayin, mayin boimen. Because they allow the water to penetrate. Okay, so machlokes. According to the Hanakama, all these types of strands pose a chatzitzin contributa. He disagrees with the tzemer, and the seir only agrees on the chutei pishton. Amar Vuna, you meant to know v'kulan b'rosh habonis shanino, that the Mishnah is discussing chutim which are placed in the rosh habonis around the hair of the bonis of the girls. So even though the Mishnah only applies the words rosh habonis to the ritzuis, but you meant to know that the word rosh habonis actually refers to all these types of strands, that the concern is only when they are wrapped and tied around the hair of the person. Maskevla Rav Yosef. Let's take a closer look at what you're saying. Lemute mai, what are you coming to exclude? Ilim lemute did savar. You're saying it's only a concern when it's tied around one's hair. Are you coming to exclude wrapped around one's neck? In that case, the water can penetrate. It doesn't pose a barrier. It's not an interposition. It's not a chatzitza. Is that so? Okay, fine. What type of strands are you speaking about? What type of materials are you speaking about where you allow it to be placed around, tied around her neck? Udemai, ilim lumuti dit semer. So you're discussing strands of wool, and you're saying that only tied around the hair will it form a barrier, but around the neck not? That can't be so. Hashta rach al gabi kosher choytis. If you say that something soft, like wool, which is rach, something relatively soft, which is tied around the hair, which is kosher, which is firm and hard, you say that it poses a chatzitza, even though it doesn't really sink into it. It's merely tied around it. Perhaps the grip is not really so firm. Nevertheless, you say that forms a barrier chatzitza. Hashta rach al gabi kosher chaitis. If you say that tzemer, which is soft, wrapped around the hair, which is kosher, forms a chatzitza. Rach al gabi rach mi boye. Do you need to even tell me? Do you need to even say that the rach, the tzemer, which is soft, tied around rach, something else which is soft, skin material? Are you going to say that that's not a chatzitza? Do you need to tell me that is a chatzitza? Certainly it is. There's no question that it's a chatzitza. Because soft over soft, it tightens more. It sinks in. It certainly will prevent the water from reaching the skin. So if we find that rach al gabi kosher is a chatzitza, rach al gabi rach ibaye, do you need to inform me that too is a chatzitza? Certainly, it's pashut. It's obvious that it is. So you can't come to be excluding the chutei tzemer placed on the tzavar, on the flesh of the isha, and suggest that that's not a chatzitza. Certainly it's a chatzitza. Ve'ela, rather, lemutei chutei de pishta. So you're referring to those strands of pishtan, of wool, of linen, of flax, and you're telling me, well, these chutei pishtan only form a chatzitz when tied on one's hair, but not around one's neck. That too won't work, because hashta kosher gabe kosher chaitis. If you say that something which is hard, like chutei pishtan, are relatively hard and firm, if those firm things which are wrapped around something else which is firm, hair, that poses a chatzitz, if that's a given fact, that certainly we can derive from there. Kashal gabirach mi boy. Do you need to tell me that if these chutei pishtan, which are kasha, which are firm and tough, if they're wrapped around something which is soft, like one's skin, one's neck, do you need to tell me that it's a chatzitza? Certainly, there's more reason to apply the chatzitza halacha around one's neck than around one's hair. So you can't come to me, tell me that. You can't come and tell me that the halacha of the Mishnah regarding the chutei tzemer and the chutei pishtan, it's only a concern. It only forms a chatzitza when tied around one's hair, but not around one's neck. That can't be so, because the neck is softer than hair. And if anything, it should be more reason for chatzitza. Elam Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, I'll explain to you Rav Huna's reasoning. Rav Huna holds that certainly when tied around the flesh, it prevents even more the water from reaching. What then is the reason why we exclude the tzavar from chatzitza? Hainu tam de Rav Huna. This is his reason. Lefi she'ein isha chayinekes es asma. Because tying around one's neck is different than around one's hair. Because generally, a woman will not strangle herself. She's not going to tie it so tightly to pose the chatzitza. So if it's around her neck, rest assured that she did it loosely, and certainly the water can penetrate properly. So once again, that is the reason behind Rav Huna's exception. This mishnah only applies to hair when it's tied tightly and forms a barrier for the water to reach the hair. However, around one's neck, where generally speaking it's loose, there's no concern of chatzitza there. Esvi Abaye says, Abaye, I have a braisa which seems to indicate that even around one's neck, there is a halacha concern of chatzitza. The mishnah says as follows: Habonois yoytzis. Girls can go out in ishus harabim bechutin shabaz neim, with threads in their ears. So after they pierce their ears, they place some threads in there to keep it from closing back up. So she's allowed to wear it in ishus harabim. Now we're not speaking about something of ornamental value. Rather, this is something like it's something which she wears. It's considered to be an ordinary chayfa that she wears. It's like a malbush, because she needs it to keep the ears in shape. The Mishnah continues, the Braisa continues, Avaloi bechavokin shebat tzavreim. But the girls, the Isha, cannot go out. They cannot go out wearing these straps around their neck. As Rashi speaks out, we're not speaking about ornamental straps, or rather functional straps. So the concern here is not that she might remove it and show a friend. We're speaking about something which is functional, like a malbush. Apparently the concern here is of chatzitza, since it's around her neck, it's tied tightly around her neck, and prevents the water from reaching the skin. If perhaps she will encounter a chiv tefillah on Shabbos, she will need to remove it on account of the halacha of chatzitza, and might carry it with herself in shus harabim. Apparently, even around one's neck, it can be tightly wrapped and pose a chatzitza concern. Says the Gemara, v'amris, if you maintain, ein isha chanekes et atzma, a woman will not choke herself, and certainly something around one's neck will be hanging loosely, chavokin shebet tzaver, and I'm alive. So why these straps around their tzaver are asur on Shabbos? Amar avina, ordinarily speaking, a strap around one's neck is lying loosely, and there's no concern of chatzitza, just as Rav Huna taught us. However, here we're speaking about something unique. Hocha bekatla skina. We're speaking about some type of article, a beged choshev, as she says, an item of significance, which was worn in a manner where the strap was strapped around one's neck, and very tightly so. The isha choynekes es atzma. She tied it very tightly around her neck. The nichala, because she would like to look plump. She nichala shatira kebalas basar. She wants to look plump. And therefore, it was customary to really wrap this strap tightly around her neck. So this is something of an exceptional case. It's something unique, which indeed was done very tightly and can pose a chatzitza concern. Therefore, it may not be worn on Shabbos. However, ordinarily speaking, the chutei tzemer, the pishtan discussed earlier in the Mishnah, does not pose a chatzitza concern when wrapped around one's neck, because it is done generally loosely, so she does not strangle herself. Continues the Gemara, let's analyze the Mishnah discussed earlier. We had a Tanakama. We had Rabbi Yehuda, who said that I disagree with the Chutei Tzemer and the Chutei Seir, which are tied around one's hair. They don't pose a chatzitza concern. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shal Tzemer, Shal Seir, strands of wool, strands of hair, Ein Chotitzin, are not considered to be a chatzitza, because the water penetrates. Rav Yosef. Whose opinion does the halacha follow? Who do we rule like? Rav Yehuda Mashmah halacha Rav Yehuda. We follow Rav Yehuda's shita b'chutei ser. With regard to chutei ser, they don't pose a chatzitza. Amli Abaye. Mehalacha, mechlal de pligi, the fact that you conclude and say, well, the halacha follows Rav Yehuda's shita, that strands of hair tied on the woman's hair don't pose a chatzitza concern. Apparently, there's an opposing view here. You need to rule according to Rav Yehuda because there's a machlekes. What makes you think that the Tanakhama disagrees with that? Perhaps the Tanakhama agrees that hair on top of hair doesn't pose a chatzitza, doesn't really connect tightly enough to prevent the water to pose a barrier. Perhaps the Tanakhama agrees that chutei ser are not concerned, because we don't find clearly expressed in the Tanakhama's words that chutei ser that are tied to one's hair pose a chatzitza. So why do you need to rule like Rabbi Yehuda? Perhaps the Tanakhama also agrees. V'chi teima, perhaps you'll say, that indeed it is evident, clear from the wording of the Mishnah, that there's a disagreement regarding chutei ser, that the Tanakhama considers it to be a chatzitza. Why? V'chi teima, perhaps you suggest, ilav deshame mitanakhama, if not for the fact that Rabbi Yehuda heard clearly from the Tanakhama that he holds the ayri b'chutei ser, that he's discussing chutei ser, and he holds that that too is considered to be a chatzitza, when we have strands of twined hair tied around the woman's hair, that too is a chatzitza, if not for the fact that he heard that clearly. Iu nami, him as well, lo yehave mayri. If he hadn't heard that from Tanakhama, he wouldn't have discussed it. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, well, you should know chutei ser, not a chatzitza, apparently he's coming to challenge the Tanakhama's view, because he knows and he heard that the Tanakhama holds that it's a chatzitza. So indeed we see clearly that there is a disagreement. Says Gemara, no, it's not a clear indication. Why? V'dilma perhaps, k'shem kamerlo. Rabbi Yehuda is saying like this, just like, meaning, yes indeed, Tanakhama holds, agrees, that chutei ser, hair on top of hair, doesn't pose a chatzitz. So what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to say? Rabbi Yehuda is saying as follows, just like, k'shem kamerlo, just like he's telling him, k'yeichi, d'moidisoli b'chutei ser, just like you agree with me, regarding chutei ser, hair tied on top of hair doesn't come across tight enough to pose a chatzitza. Just like you agree with me in that case, oiduli nami, why don't you also agree with me b'chutei tzemer, that strands of wool also don't pose a chatzitza on top of hair? So indeed, we don't really have conclusively where the Tanakhama states that strands of hair tied on an isha's hair pose a chatzitza. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda relates to that, simple. He's saying, well, just like you agree to me that hair tied on hair does not pose a chatzitza, you should agree to me regarding the chutei tzemer as well. Okay, continues the Gemara. It's my we learned. Amar Rav Nachman Shmuel, Moidim Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda b'chutei tzemer. Indeed, the Chacham agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that strands of hair tied onto her head do not pose a chatzitza concern, because water penetrates. Apparently they're both of the same consistency, they're both the same ilk, there's hair on top of hair, so they don't tie firmly enough to pose a chatzitza concern. Tani nami hachi, we learned the same in a braisa, chutei tzemer choytetzin. This is again, is the Tanakhama who says, strands of wool pose a chatzitza, chutei seyor ein choytetzin. Rav Yehuda Omer, shal tzemer vishal seyor ein choytetzin. So you see clearly that the opposing view agrees that chutei ser are not a chatzitza. It is only with regard to chutei tzemer that they have a disagreement. Omar Nachmar Yitzchak, Masnis Namideka. I can prove it to you from the words of the Mishnah as well. The wording infers as such, because the Mishnah says, Yoytze Diktani, Yoytze Isha. This is the Mishnah later on, Daf Samach Dalet. Yoytze Isha, b'chutei ser. A woman can go out in Shusram wearing these strands of hair, bei mishalo, whether it's her own hair, bei mishal chaverta, whether these chutei ser consist of her friends' hair, that's allowed. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this mission. Mani, whose opinion does this mission reflect? Ilem Rabbi Yehuda, if it reflects Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and therefore it allows an isha to go out wearing the chutei ser, because there's no concern. What can be the problem? Chatzitza, mikvah, it doesn't pose a chatzitza, so she won't remove it. So whose shita are we reflecting here? Is it Rabbi Yehuda? Afilu chutei tzemer nami. Why did the Mishnah stop by Chutei Tzemer? The Mishnah should have also discussed Chutei Tzemer. Perhaps the Mishnah should have only discussed Chutei Tzemer, which are a greater Chiddush. Not only Seir, Agabe Seir is not a Chatzitz, even Tzemer. Agabe Seir, Tzemer, which is a different consistency, it's something soft, placed on top of hair, doesn't pose a Chatzitz. So if that Mishnah would be following Shitz of Yehuda, the Mishnah should have mentioned that an Isha can go out wearing Chutei Tzemer, because they also don't pose a Chatzitz concern. Apparently that Mishnah is reflecting the Shitz Rabbanon, who hold that Tzemer is a problem, therefore we can't allow it to go out with Tzemer because they pose a Chatzitza. But Chutei Seir does not pose a concern. Indeed, we have a conclusion here. We indeed infer from there that the Rabbanon agrees with Rabbi Yehuda regarding Chutei Seir, that they don't pose a Chatzitza concern. Seir on top of Seir, here on top of here, they both the same type of item, same consistency, same makeup, and these two firm things tied on top of each other don't come together tightly enough, firmly enough to pose a chatzitza concern. So in summary, we learned halacha regarding a chatzitza with regard to strands, straps. We have a machlekes. According to the Tanakhama, as the Gemara concluded, that with regard to seir, strands of hair, there's no chatzitza concern. Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda both agree on that. With regard to chutei pishtan, they both agree that there is a chatzitza concern when wrapped, tied against one's hair. The machlokes is merely with regard to strands of wool. According to Tanakhama, there is a chatzitza concern there when it is tied around one's hair. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no concern here. Now what about if the straps are tied around her neck? As the Gemara concluded, that there's no concern there because an Isha will not strangle herself, will not choke herself to tie these things so tightly around her skin to the extent that water will be prevented from contacting the skin. This applies to all except for this katla item that the Gemara mentioned, where it is customary for the Isha to really wrap it tightly around her neck to look like a balas basar, to look plump. And in that case, the water indeed will not reach her skin, and there is a chatzitza concern, and therefore she cannot wear it into Shizurabim on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Loi b'tei tefes. An Isha may not go out into Shizurabim wearing this ornamental item, this tei tefes. My tei tefes, what exactly is this? Rav Yosef, chumrasa diktifta. We're speaking about some sort of packet which was warned to ward off, to chase away the ayin hara. The word ketifta, the Rosh Hashanah learns, means like kaitiv, like picking off. So it picked off the ayin hara. So it's like an amulet. Says the Gemara, only Abaye. If that's the case, why can't you wear it on Shabbos? V'tehavi kikamiya mumcha v'tishtari. Why don't we classify it? Why don't we categorize it like the kamiya mumcha, like this amulet, which was affected, fashioned by a mumcha, by a professional, which is allowed. We learn later in the parak that it's allowed because one needs it for his health, for his well-being. It's considered like a part of him. It's like the halacha of malbush. So why is this different? Why can't you wear the tzefes? Ela amar Rav Yehuda mishmed abaye. The definition, the translation, the description of tzefes must be something else. What is tzefes? It is not this amulet, this packet, but rather apu zainu. We're speaking about some sort of ornamental plate which she has going across her forehead, and indeed there's a concern that she might show for mechvay lechaveret, she might remove it to show a friend. Tani na mihochi. We find similarly in the Brice as follows. Yoitza isha, a woman could go out into Shiz Rama wearing. Yoitza isha bisvocha muzevis. With a svacha, with a head covering, which is golden, which is embroidered with gold, very pretty and elegant. Nevertheless, since it's a head covering, a cap or a scarf, which used to cover her hair, there's no concern that she might remove it to show a friend and uncover her hair. So there's no concern there whatsoever. The Braisa continues. Not only can she wear this svacha, she can also wear ube taitefes, she can go out with this taitefes, ube sarvitin, with sarvitin hakvumba, which are attached to the svacha, because here too there's no concern. There's no concern that she'll go and remove the tetefes of sarvitin to show a friend, because since it's attached to the svacha, the hair covering, she won't remove it on Shabbos, because she won't uncover her hair. So indeed, says the Gemara, we see an indication of what is the definition of tetefes. It's something which is sometimes attached to the head covering, to the svacha. So evidently, it's not meant as this amulet, this packet described earlier, because that was not customary to attach to her hair covering. Rather, it's something entirely different, as the Gemara soon will describe. Eizei tetefes, veizei sarmitin. How exactly are these things described? Omer avo, tetefes is a plate. Hamukefes lamoizen loizen, which stretches from one ear to the other. It's placed on the forehead. It's an ornamental plate placed on the forehead from ear to ear. Sarvitin, what is that? That is some sort of ornamental head covering. Hamagin lo ad lechoya, which droop down, dangle down, till her cheeks. So these things are elegant and they're elegant, they're chashev, and it's something which the Isha is tempted to remove and show a friend. Therefore, one may not wear it on Shabbos unless provided that it is connected to the hair covering. Omravuna, Anios, poor women, oisnos, and shomid siboinen, they fashion these items using colorful material. Ashirois, oisnos, and shal kesev zazov. Affluent women, go ahead and make it, fashion it using silver and gold. Now, what's the point of Rav Huna's statement? Explains the Ritva. He's teaching us a chiddush. Even though the ani is merely fashioned using materials, colored materials, nevertheless, it's considered to be sufficiently elegant to entail a chashash, a concern about dilma sholfa mechvai. Perhaps she'll remove it and show it to her friend. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah told us. A woman may not go out v'loy bekvul, she may not go out wearing this kavul. Now, this item could be referring to two things. It can be referring to a choysim of an eved, an emblem, a seal that an eved wears or that a shivcha wears. Or the word kvul can be defined as a kippah shel tzemer, a woolen cap worn by an ordinary woman underneath the svach, underneath the hair covering. So which one is the Mishnah referring to? Omer Rav Huna, let's take a look. Kvul ze eini yode mahu. I'm not sure, I'm not certain how to define, how to interpret the word kvul. Ikav le avdatan. Are we speaking about this emblem that an eved wears, that a servant or a shivcha maiden wears? And the Mishnah tells us that they may not wear it on Shabbos and Tishas Rabim. Why? Because of a concern they might carry it. This will be discussed in the Gemara later. So that is the Isser discussed in our Mishnah. Avo kibishal sever? But the swollen cap worn by the woman underneath the svach, underneath the hair covering, shaper dummy, that's perfectly fine. Because why? The concern always is that she might remove it to show to a friend. In this case, she won't risk pulling out the kippah shel tzemer, which might entail uncovering some of her hair. She won't do that. She won't be tempted to do that. And therefore, certainly that's mutter. So according to this approach, when the Mishnah prohibits a kvul from being worn, it's referring to the emblem of the eved and not the kippah shel tzemer of the isha. Oidimah, perhaps. On the other hand, kippah shel tzemer tnan. We meant to interpret, to translate the word kvul in our Mishnah to referring to the kippah shel tzemer of the isha. There's a concern there as well. Perhaps she'll figure out a way to slip it out from underneath the svach, from underneath the hair covering, and show it to her friend. The kosh can certainly cover the avda, the emblem of the eved, which is usher, for concern that he might carry it in shesurab. So which way are we meant to go? Omer avo mistaver. It is logical to say, Kiman d'omer, kippah shel tzemer tnan. It is logical to take the approach of the one who interprets the Mishnah. The word kvul to be referring to the kippah shel tzemer, the cap, the woolen cap worn by the woman. And the reason is because she might be tempted, she might figure out a way to slip it out and show it to her friend without uncovering her hair. And we find a brisa which supports this, which describes the kvul as being something which is positioned underneath the svach, underneath the hair covering. The Bible says as follows: Yoytze isha bikvul, a woman can go out wearing this kvul. Ube istama, this is another item described soon. Lechatzer, although to shesurabim she can't, but to a chatzer she could, as we learned in the Rashi and the Mishnah. The Chachamim allowed something an isha to wear, some sort of ornamental item, in order to find favor in the eyes of her husband. So into a chatzer she can wear it, and it's different than the other tachshitim which are prohibited even in a chatzer. However, in shesurabim, it certainly is also. according to the Tanakam. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, I disagree. He says as follows. Af likvul ishas rabim. I allow even the kvul to be worn, even to ishas rabim. Why? Klal Omer Shimon Elazar. Shimon Elazar presented a rule, a general klal. Kol shula mata. Anything placed that's positioned underneath the svacha again is the hair covering. Anything that's underneath that is fine, is permitted, is carries no concern. There's no reason to think that she'll go remove it and show a friend because she's not going to risk uncovering her hair. In order to get to the cap, to this kvul which is underneath her svacha, she needs to lift the svacha a bit, and she won't do that. So therefore, I say it's allowed even in shusharab. Tanakama says only in Rishus Hayochid, only in the Chatzar. I say even in Rishus Rab, because it's underneath the Svacha. Kol Shula Malama Svacha, indeed, something which is above the Svacha, which doesn't entail removing the Svacha and uncovering her hair. There's a real concern, a genuine concern that she'll go remove it to show a friend, and therefore Ein Yotzei Moshe, she cannot wear it and take it out into Rishus Rab. So apparently, the Kvul is something which is underneath the Svacha, which is the Kippah Shel Tzemer, worn by the Isha underneath the hair covering. And indeed this brisa supports that definition of a kvul. It's referring to the Kippah Shel Tzemer, and the Tanakama prohibits the Kippah Shel Tzemer to be worn in Shusarabim. And Shem Elazar says there's no concern of it being pulled out and being shown to a friend because it's underneath the Svacha. So once again, when the Mishnah says kvul, we're referring to the woolen cap, which is positioned underneath the Svacha, directly on the woman's hair. And there too, there's a concern of being removed and shown to a friend, according to the Shita of Tanakam. So the Braisa told us that, although according to the Tanakam, the kvul may not be worn to Rishus Rabim, but to the Chatzar, it can be worn the kvul as well as the istama. My istama, what exactly is this istama? Amar Avo, bizyoni. My bizyoni, what is that? Amar Abaye, Amar Rav, kal yifruchi. It chases away the things that fly. Meaning, sometimes there are errant hairs that are protruding out of the outside of the hair covering of the Isha. So she attaches some sort of item there, some sort of small scarf that covers up those fruchi, those errant, those protruding hairs. So this too is allowed to be worn by the Isha in the Chatz. Tana Rabbanan Gimel Dvarim Nemar Istama. Three halachas apply to this item called Istama. Number one, Ein Bo Mishum Kalayim. There's no concern about Kalayim because the Isser of Kalayim of mixing together wool and linen is only when they are spun, threads that are spun. This is an item which is made of felt, which does not have the property, the element required for Kalayim. Ve'ena matama b'negoyim, it can be tam-tami through a nega, because there as well needs to be formed from material, which is, Rashi says, shua b'tavi, combed and spun. Ve'en yoyitim ishus harab. However, into Shizarabim, she cannot wear it for concern that she might remove it to show a friend. The name Reb Shimon, they added another thing with regard to the istama. Af Aimba Mishum Atoris Kalis. There's no concern about the gzera of Atoris Kalis. The time of the Churban destruction by Samigdash HaChamim wanted to minimize somewhat to downgrade the expression of celebration, and they applied an iser for a kala to wear this unique atoris kalas, these crowns that kalas used to wear. However, according to Reb Shimon, this istama is not considered to be significant enough, elegant enough to be considered to be an atoris kalas, and therefore a kala is allowed to wear it without any concern. Okay, time for a brief chazara on today's daf. Perhaps we'll begin from the beginning and then we'll conclude with a brief summary on the most recent piece of Gemara that we just learned as well. So the Perek began discussing items of tachshitim, ornamental items, that an Isha cannot wear on Shabbos in Rishus Rabim. And the concern is that she might remove it and carry it with herself in Rishus Rabim. The Mishnah began with hair accessories. Now the concern there is that she not because she'll remove it on account of their elegance to display it to a friend, but rather, as the Gemara explained, on account of chatzitza, because they form a barrier. They don't allow the water to reach her hair, and it is a halacha concern, perhaps if the Isha needs to immerse on Shabbos. Therefore, she should not go out with those straps and ribbons and threads and strands tied to her hair. The Gemara actually told us that we must address two concerns. What is the criterion which allows something to be worn on Shabbos as a headband? It is either, according to the first version of the Gemara, something which does not pose a chatzitza concern, and therefore something which is arug, woven as mutter. Even if it's dirty, it's mutter because the water penetrates. According to the second version of the Gemara, the criterion is, in addition to not being a chatzitza, needs to be something which she is not makbid on, which she doesn't insist on removing. Therefore, something which is clean, something which is clean woven, arug is mutter, but something which is woven but also matun of dirty, it poses a concern of her getting dirty and she'll want to remove it on Shabbos. And therefore, that cannot be worn in Shesarabim, again for concern that she might remove it prior to immersing in the mikvah. We proceeded discussing halachas regarding chatzitzas on straps, ribbons, threads worn on one's hair. And we have a machlekes. According to the Tanakhama, even strands of wool pose a chatzitza. When they're tied around the hair, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they don't. They both agree regarding strands of pishtan, of linen, that they pose a chatzitza. Regarding strands of hair tied to hair, it's not firm enough, it's not tight enough, and the water will surely penetrate with no concern. The Gemara told us that strands tied around the woman's neck are not fitted tightly enough to pose a chatzitza concern. However, this katla item, which is generally customarily worn very tight, does pose a chatzitza concern, and therefore may not be worn on Shabbos, concerned that she might remove it prior to immersing. The Gemara proceeded with the second part of the Mishnah, which discusses items of tachshitin, which may not be worn on concern that she might remove it on account of its elegance to show or display it to her friend and then continue carrying it, walking with her rabbin. So we discussed this svacha, this hair covering, which poses no concern whatsoever because it's covering the hair. She will not remove it and uncover her hair on Shabbos. Regarding the kippah shel tzemer, this woolen cap worn underneath the svacha, which is described as kvul, we have a machlekes. According to the Tanakam, it's also to be worn shesurabim because she'll find a way to slip it out and show it to her friend, according to Shimon Lazar. Since it's underneath the svacha, there's no concern because she won't be tempted to go and remove it for concern that she'll be uncovering some of her hair. Regarding the taitefes, which was a plate worn on the forehead, or the sarvitim, an ornamental head covering which dangles down. So it depends. If it is attached to the svacha, there's no concern because just as she doesn't remove the svacha, she won't remove these items as well. If they're detached, then indeed she can't wear it on Shabbos for concern that she might dilma sholfa, she might remove it to show a friend and carry it in shesurabim. What about the chosim of the eved, the emblem the eved wears? That also is not allowed. What about wearing something in a chutzer? So the Mishnah made an exception regarding a kvul, the Braisa added the istama. These things are allowed to be worn in a chutzer. As Rashi explains, shalitis gana al baila, so she should find favor in her husband's eyes.